Hey, folks, before we get to today's episode of The Wolf Den, I want to let you know two things. Number one is that Harry's here. Hi, Harry.
Hey there.
And two is that support for today's Wolf Den comes from, can you guess, Harry?
Podchaser.
Nailed it in one. Podchaser is the ultimate podcast directory, building the IMDb equivalent for podcasts. Podchaser feels like the kind of thing that we should have on The Wolf Den, don't you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, Lex. We actually already have had them
on
The Wolf Den.
Oh, right. And I remember, Podchaser lets you rate and review individual podcast episodes, create a custom list of your favorite podcasts or podcast episodes, and easily open your favorite podcasts in your preferred listening app directly from Podchaser. Starting this fall, you can find and follow your favorite podcast creators on Podchaser with Podchaser's new creator profile pages. Go to podchaser.com to learn more. Welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting. I'm the business of podcasting, Lex Friedman. Today, our guest is Ben Ratner, video producer at Star Talk Radio with Neil deGrasse Tyson. How are you, Ben?
Doing good, doing good.
Can you pronounce Neil's name for me? Because I hear a lot of debate internally over deGrasse versus Degrassi.
Yeah, so if your mom, it's deGrasse. Like, my mom says Neil deGrasse Tyson. A lot of people who, like, kind of know him but don't, it's Neil deGrasse. It's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Okay, so I've been nailing it for years.
I'm
going to learn more about Ben later. But first, it's time for that segment you come for the show for. Come for the show for? It doesn't make sense. It's time for the segment you come to the show for. Shows we're jealous of. Where we can highlight shows that we like so much, we wish we made them ourselves. Ben, do you have a show you're jealous of?
I do. It's kind of a smaller podcast, but there's a podcast called The Carson Podcast, hosted by comedian Mark Malkoff. It's a podcast about the people whose lives have been changed by Johnny Carson. So people who have been on the show, people who worked on the show, and it's kind of like a behind-the-scenes kind of cool way to relive the history of that show.
Do you do a Carson impression yourself?
I don't.
No, that is weird. I don't do a Carson impression. I do my Dana Carvey impersonation.
The best way to do an impersonation is to do the impersonation.
If you remember the movie Multiplicity, I'm a dub of a dub. That's what I'm going for. So as regular listeners of this show know, and you all are, I frequently break the rules of this segment because we've done many episodes and there's only so many shows a man can hear and thus be jealous of. So now I'm just really doing shows I like. A show that became a mid-roll show thanks to past Wolf Den guest Max Temkin in part. Not a Wolf Den show. I say Wolf Den. It became an Earwolf show. And that is Hello from the Magic Tavern. Probably my favorite podcast of all time. If you haven't listened to it, I'd like you to. You can start from episode one. It is the rare Earwolf show that doesn't have its archives paywalled because of just how important it is to start from the beginning. But it is set in the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Arnie Niekamp, the host, fell through a portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into that magical, fantastical land. And he is joined each week by his co-hosts, Usador the Wizard and Chunt the Shapeshifting Talking Badger. They welcome guests each week. And whatever the guests say on that show as other characters becomes canonical to the show. Early on, a guest mentioned, oh, we have everything here in Foon. You know, elves and dwarves and Jews. And they said, wait, do you say Jews? And yes. So now in this magical, fantastical land, they celebrate things like Hanukkah. So it's nice. But I highly recommend Hello from the Magic Tavern. You can dive in anywhere. I'm a completist. I would start from the beginning, but dive anywhere. Have you
is
heard
that,
it?
Is that a McElroy podcast or was
He's
he on it once? Yeah.
He's
okay.
Guest. Yeah. Yeah. I guess more than once. I believe he is a sentient piece of furniture in the titular Magic Tavern.
Sounds about right.
Well, okay, I'm glad we got that out of the way. The Carson podcast, does the host have any connection to Johnny or just a fan of the show?
No, he's an old school fan of the show. He used to work at Colbert. He's, you know, comedian, done a bunch of the talk shows, but he just loves that kind of period of time.
And have you ever listened to our show, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast?
I listened to one or two episodes. I'm trying to think who the guests were, but I've listened to a couple of those.
Because I feel like people who love hearing old school Carson stories would like what Gilbert does too. So that's just a free show for you listeners. Just give me a free extra recommendation.
Now, do you do a Gilbert impersonation?
We often do Gilbert impressions in meetings when we're talking about his show in terms of Gilbert doing sponsor copy. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Did I hurt your levels there, Harry? Harry says I broke the machine. Speaking of Magic Tavern, which we got connected to from Max, who is one of the co-creators of Cards Against Humanity, years ago, and maybe we can find this and link to it in the show notes, but years ago, Cards Against Humanity bought an ad on Gilbert Gottfried's show, where instead of having him read an ad, they said, this episode is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. Instead of having me read an ad, they asked me to read Bill Pullman's epic speech from the climactic scene of the film Independence Day.
I've such faith that today is the 4th of July. end, you will once again be fighting for our freedom.
This is our Independence Day. And it's like, it's incredible. Anyway, that's a lot of data. We barely even started. So Ben,
I would listen to the podcast just for that ad.
Yeah, it's, people did. There's a YouTube video of it where they synced it up with the movie. And it's like, so it's wonderful. But Ben, you are, I want to get your official title right. You are the, specifically, video producer at Star Talk Radio.
Yep. So I run all of the video content, and that's kind of not the best term, but I also do all the audio. I'm there for all the recordings.
Oh, thank goodness.
I run those.
Otherwise, I was like, what's happening here?
It's a silent podcast. and I also work a bit on the marketing side. So I try to find new ways to get the show out to people, creative ways to, you know, get more audience to enjoy Neil's show.
Now, do you have some kind of radio or television background that makes this make sense? What did you study in college?
Yeah, so in college, I went to school for television and radio.
Oh my God, it's perfect!
Yes, it's remarkably relevant. I actually, my history in media production started back in middle school. We had a TV studio in my middle school, Great Neck South Middle School. On Long Island, and I was just hooked into TV production the second I got in there.
Not in front of the camera, behind.
Behind the camera, yeah. I have a face for radio and a voice Same. For printed art.
I was the host of our televised daily announcements my senior year of high school, the first year we had it, closed circuit TV for the school, and I did the morning announcements on TV every day my senior year. And I applied to college before I started doing that and felt like I would have gotten an even better merit scholarship had they known I was doing that every day.
You can go back to school.
In 2013, you had a coveted internship, if memory serves.
I did. So I interned for Conan on TBS, which I'm a huge Conan fan. I'm like a late night
talk
show fan.
You were Team Coco.
But I was strongly on Team Coco.
Did you catch the Legally Prohibited from Being Funny on Television tour?
I tried, except I was in high school at the time, and the internet in school was not good enough yet to get... The New York show was sold out in like a minute.
Yes.
It was way too fast.
I bought 4 tickets, assuming that I could find another couple to go with me and my wife to see it, which we did.
You didn't want to go with like 18-year-old Ben?
You weren't taking my calls back then, Ben. So you interned at Conan.
So actually, just quickly, before I interned at Conan, he has a segment on his show called Fan Corrections, where you submit something he did wrong.
Yes.
So I submitted one a couple months before I got the internship there, and he ended up using it on the show. He ended up shredding my resume, my internship application on the show, yet I still ended up working there. So.
Nice. That's really funny. Well, was it a good segment? Do you save the clip and watch it every once in a while?
You know what? My text tone. So every time I get a text, even though I don't have audio on, when I do, it's Conan saying, Ben Ratner.
my ringtone, even though I never have my phone sounds on, is They Might Be Giants singing a song about me getting a phone call. So we each have cool ringtones up in
here.
Yeah,
we do. Well, for the record, my ringtone is the Conan theme song.
Okay. So you are a fan. But you interned there. And then you also worked in 2014 at NY1 News as a technical operator.
So I worked at New York One for a hot second until I answered a Craigslist ad, which basically said, come work for a talk show in a basement.
And what was that talk show?
That talk show, for those of you who are Opie and Anthony fans, this is Anthony Cumia's show. So he got...
He became freely available to make a new show, if memory serves.
Yeah, he probably tweeted some things that were not advisable. And
there's a lot of that going around.
Yes, he's done that recently too, and he's officially off to... Not my scene anymore, but I actually never even heard of Opie and Anthony before then. I wasn't a talk radio guy. I was really a talk show guy. But, you know, the opportunity came up, and I just took him up on it.
So you worked directly with Mr. Cumia?
I did. So I ran all of
did
the
Did he make you call him Mr. Cumia?
He did not make me call him Mr. Cumia.
Would you call me Mr. Cumia?
I will call you whatever you want me to call you.
We'll
they did
Lex.
Call me Rat from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which I had not seen at that time.
which must have infuriated them.
Oh, I'm such like a not... old school like movie guy, and they just threw out constant references that I never got, and they love to hate it.
Now, you, I imagine, according to your resume, you've directed over 900 hours of news and talk shows. Was that mostly Anthony Cumia, or
was
some other stuff?
So that was just at Anthony. I mean, we were doing
Good
up
Lord.
To 20 hours a week of live content. So we started bringing on other shows at that point. So it was just nonstop.
Listen, obviously Joe Rogan knows what he's doing. If I ever have Elon Musk on the Wolf Den, I can't imagine that we're going to smoke pot together. But Scripps has a zero tolerance policy on drugs. Just say no, Harry. But the He's putting out a lot of content, was where I was going with this. Like, he's putting out many, many hours. The IAB podcast upfronts, as we record this episode, were just a week ago in Manhattan, or a few days ago in Manhattan. And some folks from ESPN got up and they're like, yeah, we do 4 podcasts a day, 5 days a week. The same show, 4 times a day. That's 20 episodes a week. And I'm like, who has time to listen to this? What else do you do?
Like, I listen to like 6 or 7 podcasts on a weekly basis. I couldn't imagine just one of those taking up all of that time.
Oh my God, yeah. And my podcast count is a little bit too high now, but I'm keeping above board just barely. But you can see, these are just my unlistened here. I'm showing him. This is great podcasting. But like, there's 9 shows I haven't heard episodes from yet that are waiting to be listened to. So I'm saying 900 hours doing 20 hours a week, that's a lot. What percentage were you like enjoying of in terms of like a fan of being able to hear the show that you were also working on?
You know, surprisingly, very little.
No, I would say unsurprisingly.
Yeah, my lifestyle and choices were as opposite from the fans and cast and crew of the Anthony Cumia Network at the time.
I listened to Opie and Anthony while I was in college when I wasn't listening to Howard, right? Because Howard had paywalled at Sirius effectively, and I liked talk radio. And so I was listening to them because they would be in the car when I was driving from my off-campus housing to campus. So I heard easily 9 minutes of that show every day.
And honestly, Howard really hasn't done much for the radio industry as a whole. So
no, that guy. He does insult podcasting a lot. So he's got that going for him. So you started a podcast network with video, not literally from scratch because Anthony already had a big following, but from a thing that did not exist into a thing that existed. What was that like?
So I, as a video guy that got into radio, I was very focused on the video portion of this. I wanted video, and to this day, I see video as something in podcasting that should not be secondary, but primary.
Well, we're going to fight about that, but go ahead.
Well, it should work for both.
Oh, no, we're going to fight then. Don't try to talk our way out of this.
I'll murder you.
No crawfishing.
But, you know, for people paying for the visual element, and we found more people were watching at that time, I wanted them to not just be looking at a face in an ugly room. Mm-hmm. So we got a nice background there. We brought up elements. Yeah, you know, for the sponsors, we were able to charge more for, you know, putting their picture up on screen. For video elements, now Anthony had a background in radio, so he's great at explaining everything. But now you could finally show that news story or show that video. So I felt that we were able to enhance the listening experience with video without doing bad things to the audio-only listeners.
So the reason I was saying I was going to fight you, at this point in the narrative, we're just getting right up to Star Talk. So listeners who are dying for that Star Talk hot goss, we're getting there. But, you know, just today I was doing a press interview and they were saying like, what do you attribute the success in podcasting to date? And I'm like, well, there's a couple things. Number one is it's on demand and people like on demand, right? You can listen to it when you want to listen to it. And typically people who listen to talk radio or any other kind of talk stuff in the car, you hear whatever's on while you're commuting. And I think that Netflix, et cetera, have made us completionists, right? If you're going to watch a show, people don't say, I'm going to watch 4 episodes of Breaking Bad ever. They watch all of it. And so you don't want to hear 12 minutes of Anthony. You want to hear, if you're an Anthony fan, you want to hear the whole thing. And I think podcasting helps with that. So it's on demand and it's, you know, a great wealth of great content and it's easy to be a completist. But I think that it's also the fact that we want to be entertained at all times. And there are times when you can't watch video but can be listening to podcasts, specifically things like when you are driving. So I challenge you that the video should be on equal footing with the audio podcast element. I think that you shouldn't ignore it, but that the growth is attributable to the audio side and video. People aren't good at consuming long term. My phone keeps ringing. People aren't good at consuming long runtime video the way they are audio.
So I would argue that you can do both well.
Let's fight.
Let's fight. And then the other thing, and not just talking about quality, is that the data, at least the data at the time, showed that we had more people watching video. So why would I not support the people who are watching the way they wanted to watch?
Yeah. You can make data say anything, can't you?
Oh, yes, I can. I probably just made up that fact. And then the other thing is we built a robust app. We built just a well-designed website that allowed for that to play nicely. So at the time, there really wasn't a whole lot of, you know, there were a couple of people doing video podcasts, but no one's really doing it at the quantity and scale that we were. So we wanted to really do a good job at the back end portion of that to make the experience kind of seamless.
Got it. Well, so I want to get to Star Talk, but because I know the listeners are dying to hear it, they also are dying to hear me do some ad reads. So we're going to be back with Ben to talk more about Star Talk right after this. Harry, sometimes people don't love when ad breaks come to podcasts because they're like, oh man, I was loving that podcast so much. So you know what I like to do?
What's that?
I like to make the ads just like content.
Oh, fun.
That's why you're here.
Oh, okay. I'm content?
You are content.
Oh, that's so
I'm
nice
content
to say.
When you're here. Oh. Being prepared when an opportunity comes up, Harry, is crucial, and having a business card ready to go in your pocket is the first step to making something happen.
Absolutely.
Harry's in charge of business cards here, or at least he has been historically. Maybe
yeah, we
not
need to
anymore.
Get a new logo.
A new business card person? Know? Yeah. Well, guess what? With Vistaprint, you can create a truly professional, unique card in minutes. Upload your own design or start with one of their professionally designed options. Vistaprint offers simple tools and a wide range of templates to choose from. Harry, if you had to pick, do you prefer a narrow range or a wide range?
I feel like I want more. More is better.
So a wide range. Thank you, Vistaprint. You get to pick the paper stock, style, and quantity that's right for you. Choose your delivery speed, then order and receive your cards in as few as 3 days.
That's so short.
Like, let's say hypothetically. Okay. Just hypothetically. It's Tuesday. And you're like, you know what? I really, really, really need business cards Friday. Vistaprint can hook you up with that. That's all I'm saying.
Amazing.
Your next big opportunity is coming right now. And for as little as $10, you can feel ready to make an impression with a custom card that you choose. I can make an impression. This is Gilbert Gottfried. There we go. With Vistaprint, you can look and feel like a big deal, whether you're a startup or a business with a century of history. Scripps, our parent company, is like 150 years old.
Yeah.
Vistaprint wants you to do something great for your business right now. And I want that too, which is why our listeners, Harry, can get 500 high-quality custom business cards starting at just $9.99. They're basically giving them away. Here's how you do it. Use the code WOLFDEN at Vistaprint.com. That's code WOLFDEN at Vistaprint.com. One more time, WOLFDEN at Vistaprint.com.
You're so loud in my headphones.
All right, so we tried to get through that whole ad break, but Ben would not stop yelling at me saying, I'm not done with the video versus audio conversation, damn it. You said you wanted to talk Star Talk. I'm not ready. I'm quoting Ben verbatim. I need the opportunity to talk about video. So Ben, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so you're talking about how growth all comes through audio, and that's, you know, largely true. But in the social media age where it's easy to get to a lot of people in a way that wasn't always the same for radio, I feel like just visually audio has a hard time penetrating through a timeline. So on Facebook, on Twitter, and obviously on YouTube, it's not easy to get people's to catch their eye to give you more than that 3 seconds of listenership. So the video element for me from a purely promotional side is important to have kind of shiny and good looking.
Yeah. And so what we typically end up doing when we're going to do social with a video to help promote podcasts is it's, you know, a real short clip that's, you know, an audio clip from the show with some visual that goes along with it. Maybe it's transcribed with a little audio waveform, something like that. One of those things. But I hear you. You
yeah,
are
those
right
like audiogram.
Exactly. But
and those are great. Those are fine. But there's only so many of those to me you can see in a timeline before it's the same thing over and over again.
I feel the same way about the Anthony Cumia show. I butchered my own joke. All right. So you've been a video producer and audio for Star Talk since 2013. Did Neil interview you for the job?
He did not, unfortunately.
What is your level of frequent interaction with Neil?
So we see Neil once or twice a month. We record pretty much monthly with him. So we record a couple episodes at a time. Sorry to give away the illusion that we see him every week.
Does he know your name?
No, Neil. Yes, okay. Neil knows me. I know Neil.
I'm going to take just a moment to give you my Neil Lex origin story.
Do it.
Which was before he was rep by us. He had a podcast. I don't even know who was selling the ads initially. I have a guess. But it was happening. And our founder at Midroll, Jeff Ulrich, and I went to meet with Neil and his team, Laura and Helen, at the Hayden Planetarium, where Neil has an office. And it was Jeff and me from our side and Neil from his side. And Jeff and I had been doing meetings all over the city. This was the biggest meeting of the day. We wanted to land the show. We wanted it to be a Midroll show for us to rep for ads. And
don't give away the ending. We don't want to hear if you got it yet.
And we got it. And sorry, spoiler. And so... we hadn't eaten all day, right? We had been in the city all day. I commuted. At the time, I was never commuting to the city, so it was rare. It was a journey day for me. I took a 90-minute bus ride to be here, and I was like, oh, I'm Lex in the big city. That's exactly what I said. It sounded like my voice was higher back then. This was 4 years
Lex
ago.
Lex in the big city,
and,
huh?
Pass the cheese, please. And gorsh. That's my goofy. And so we go to Neil, and we're starving. And he has just finished a lunch meeting. So there's food in his office. Like, would you guys like anything to eat? And we're like, no, we're fine. Why did we say that? Because we're dumb people, like just idiots. Like, no, we're fine. And everybody quick takes a bathroom break. So I'm just sitting there in the office with Neil making chit chat. And he's like, it's a shame you're not hungry because this Caesar dressing is phenomenal. I'm like, it's all good. And so we're doing the meeting. Everybody's back. We're in the room. We're saying, here's what Midroll does. Here's what we could do. Here's how much money we think we can make for you, et cetera. And it's like, Lex, I have to interrupt you. You must try this Caesar dressing. And Neil deGrasse Tyson picks up a piece of grilled chicken with his fingers, like a strip of grilled chicken, dips it into the Caesar dressing, and hand feeds me a bite of the grilled chicken dipped in the Caesar dressing. The amazing part to me of this whole story isn't that Neil hand fed me It's that the Caesar dressing was totally normal pedestrian Caesar dressing. It's like the same as every other Caesar dressing you've ever had. And so years later, I had Neil and LeVar Burton at this event for a book from Andy Wire.
Was that when we did it at the moon thing?
The Artemis.
And they read Goodnight Moon together.
Were you the video crew?
I was the video guy there.
I was right there. So we met there. We just didn't know it at the time because like I had put that whole thing together with Neil and LeVar.
That was incredible.
And I was telling, I hadn't seen Neil in person since that first meeting, even though we've been repping a show for years. I'm like, Neil, I just want to tell you, I've been dining out on a story about you for years. And he goes, I remember that Caesar dressing. What did you think of it? I'm like, that's the punchline of my story. It's that it was totally normal Caesar dressing. He's like, if you think that was totally normal Caesar dressing, then you, my friend, you have had some good Caesar dressing in your life. Neil was convinced.
I will say, I had Caesar dressing in his office two nights ago, and it was fine.
Yeah, right?
I don't know if it's the same, but...
I think Neil doesn't know Caesar the way he thinks he does. So you are responsible for both video and audio production at StarTalk?
Correct.
And what is having that video element change about how you're capturing the audio recording? How does it change the recording process?
Sure. There's two kind of noticeable things. And if
the
I say
cameras?
Two, yes, there's cameras. We actually, unlike, I guess, most podcasts, we don't really have headphones on the show. Mm. So we're, Neil and the guest are relying on us to give that feedback during the show if we have to. We have a little earbud in, but it's not kind of these like radio quality headphones.
We're using Sennheiser headphones, the official headphones of the Earwolf Studio.
I'm more of a, is that an official sponsor?
I
won't talk about my other favorite.
Which is also Sennheiser.
Which is also Sennheiser. Sure it is.
So they're not on big headphones because they're on video and they want
to. They're on video and you people do it on video all the time. I just personally don't like that look, and that's something that I've done.
I think you look fantastic, Ben.
Why, thank you. And my kind of froish hair just looks so great with these headphones, especially afterwards.
Yes.
I forgot what I was going to say.
We were explaining how it's different from a regular audio setup. So they're not wearing the big headphones. They're not wearing the big headphones.
Also, for us and all the productions I do, it's important to not have a giant microphone in front of the face.
Ah.
So in here, we have these kind of traditional radio arms here. But what this would do in a video situation, unless we were really talking off to the side of the microphone, is that...
obfuscates a whole lot of the face.
Yeah. So we do a little more in kind of that table mic zone.
You can still capture the audio quality you want. Like
yes.
If I were there, you'd still get that booming Friedman resonance that
it's
so crave.
And okay. We would never give up quality. Yes, that Lux Friedman boom.
That was good. That was me. It was like two me's all of a sudden. So you've got smaller mics and stuff and the lack of headphones.
Not necessarily smaller mics, just less obtrusively placed mics.
So in
some scenarios, it's not, the perfect, most comfortable, you're not eating the mic like you might in a studio like this.
Yep.
So it might be the slightest bit more airy, but the average audio podcast listener is going to know none of the difference.
Especially when you look at how people are compressing their podcasts to make them be at a scalable file size. And if people are listening to anything greater than 1x, all the work you've done is out the window anyway. I'm one of those people. You're welcome. I listen to 1.7. It's lit as well, I'm assuming?
Yep, so everything's lit. We actually do most of our production in front of a green screen. So we actually shoot... weirdly enough,
they put the Wolf Den desk behind them.
Yes, we figured out what Wolf Den studio was going to look like years before it existed.
Yeah.
No, we actually shoot in Anthony's studio from the Anthony Cumia show. So everything there is green screen. We've got a nice desk in there. And the green screen gives us the ability to give, a different look for the shows. We have two spinoff shows, Star Talk All Stars and Star Talk Playing with Science. And those also have a slightly different look. So we're able to...
All record in the same place, though.
All record in the same place.
So Anthony wasn't mad when you left. He still lets you rent his studio, effectively.
Absolutely. I built that studio with him back in the day. So I built it with Star Talk in mind with the hope that I would get to keep using it.
That's amazing. Do you think it affects the show? Because Neil typically has a guest on Star Talk Radio. Do people, and maybe it's impossible to know this, but do people play differently when they know they're also being video recorded? Or do you think it doesn't really affect the show?
There's certain scenarios where we need to remind people that they are on video. People tend to forget that they're on video because once you're in there, you're in there. You're doing a show. It's not explicitly a video show and everyone's thinking of it as the podcast.
Yep.
There are times where things come up and they say, I wish we could look at that. And then what we'll do is we'll do a version of it where they look at it because we don't do our shows live for the most part.
Right.
So we'll record a version for video because if we are looking at something, there's no need to explain every word of it. But then we'll also make sure that we do a version for the podcast
The video and audio podcasts aren't necessarily identical. They'll do different takes or different versions of segments based on what medium you're going to be consuming that content in.
Correct. Now, for the most part, they are identical. So our video goes into two different places. We have a service called StarTalk All Access, which is it's a paywalled service that has everything that
we do.
Oh,
I know.
I can't imagine when that's come up in conversations for things.
Because, you know, every time I've tried to pitch StarTalk on putting some stuff behind our paywall, I'm like, well, we already have a paywall. And I'm like, okay. It makes me sad. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm over it, Harry. I'm over it. Harry's worried. It's fine.
It's okay.
The other place is social video and, you know, things where you want to see the visual. If we're talking about this really cool looking galaxy, there's only so much talking to do. So for the social video elements, we take advantage of that.
In what ways do you think that having the show filmed on video benefits the audio podcast?
So how does it... I'm not going to say that it benefits the audio podcast. It benefits the... I'm going to say people who consume it, not even just listeners, to let them consume the podcast in the way they want to.
For sure. That I totally agree with. I was just curious if you think it has, you don't think it has any negative impact really on the audio. I just didn't know if you thought that maybe the fact that you do remember when you remind them, hey, there's a camera here, let's pay attention to that. If you thought that had any effect on the audio show itself, is that like maybe no?
I don't think it does. And honestly, to your point, if something goes a little too heavy on the video focus side, we will make sure in studio, like we're actively thinking, is this okay for audio? We're not thinking, is this okay for video?
Got it. And so is there any concern on the StarTalk side that the video's success could come at the expense of the podcast, the audio podcast's download numbers?
There's obviously concern of that. We really haven't seen, you know, we haven't been able to put an effect, a cause and effect directly on that. Personally, as someone who's not responsible for like the numbers of the podcast, I don't necessarily care because my goal is to get as many people to see StarTalk in their day-to-day lives. So for leaving the numbers aside, I know we've got some great numbers on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter especially. It's been a surprising place for our success on in the video world. But there are a lot more people who have been able to actually digest some of StarTalk than, you know, just the people who listen to podcasts.
I get it.
And like if you, why am I blanking on his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes, Neil.
Chuck Nice?
No, not Chuck. iTunes, Steve. So Steve Wilson, one of his, to me, his famous lines.
Steve who? Yep. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. He tweeted out, often tweets out, he hates when people say, listen, shit.
Steve doesn't like when you say listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher,
yes,
wherever you listen. He wants you to only tell people to listen on Apple Podcasts.
He wants you to only tell people to listen on Apple, but I think his point is that the telling people to listen where they listen to podcasts means that it's only podcast listeners that are thinking about that.
Yes.
So I kind of took that to mean, you know, if you're doing something on video where they are on video, make sure that they can enjoy it on video and let them know that it exists there. So I feel like we're able to introduce StarTalk to people in their just day-to-day lives.
Now, the only other question I have on the ad side is, does the video version of the show have the same ads that the audio podcast has?
So the video version pretty much nowhere carries the same ads or videos at all. So the vast majority of that is behind the paywall. But when we put some of them up on YouTube and Facebook, we tend to go with either native ads or we have like sponsorships within an episode if we're doing something just for video. But anything that's... video just from the podcast, that's just using the same old if we're doing video that was created from an audio podcast, that does not carry the audio ads. It'll either have the native platform ads or nothing at all.
Got it. So this is typically a show about audio podcasts. You're one of the first video-centric guests we've had. I know you're bullish on the concept of video in podcasting. What do you think it's a mistake that more shows don't do a video element? What do you think they're missing out on?
So something I tell every podcaster, especially if they're just starting, is record the video even if you're not going to use it. There are lots of ways to take advantage of video. For us, it's back catalog. For a lot of people, it's just back catalog for people who want to watch it later on. But if you don't have it, you can't use it, and it's not expensive to record video.
So you're saying everybody in podcasting should pivot to video?
I'm not saying everyone should pivot to video. This sounds like a conversation you've had before. It should exist should you ever want to use it and have a reason to use it. I mean, for me, like we're working on getting our video onto places where audio can never work. Things like airports, hotels, airplanes, like things like that.
Yep.
A lot of at-home stuff. And again, audio could just never happen there.
I feel like audio can happen on airplanes, but I'm with you on the other ones.
Okay, fine.
I have to defend airplane audio. I listen to a lot of podcasts on airplanes.
Now, do you have a good pair of Sennheiser
Sennheiser noise canceling.
Noise canceling headphones.
You're not wrong. And, but listen, video is a premium option. We don't do it currently in Stitcher Premium, but we do have some shows that do it. Never Not Funny, an Earwolf show has a video component.
That's with
like
Jimmy Pardo, right?
That's right.
Yeah, he was.
Used to open for Conan. Used to be the warm up guy. Oh, I know my Conan history. What is there? Do you. You don't do any live streaming because you said you're producing the show in the studio. There's multiple tweaks.
So we occasionally live stream a live show. Again, that's all for behind the wall, Patreon, things like that. I would love to do a lot more of that because I think that gives the audience just a newer, better way to get involved in the show. So I'd love to see us do more of that in the future, if not all the other podcasters out there.
Now, not everybody has Star Talks budgets, right? Not everybody has Neil. He's been on this show. But do you think it's better if you have limited resources available and you can maybe shoot video on an iPhone with a nice camera, is some video that's maybe mediocre in quality better than no video?
Absolutely. I'm in general, I don't care about the shiniest, highest quality video. I'll even say for Star Talk, we don't have the shiniest, highest quality video. We've got more than good for the platforms that it ends up on. You know, this is never going to end
up
in
like
a 4K movie
theater.
The size
of your fist, right? I get it.
So in that regard, I mean, video technology has gotten so cheap nowadays. You can get a great camera, like a really good camera for $1,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that
using promo code WolfDeath.
Yes. But you can get the phone on your...
I like that one.
Yes. It's for just go to any seller of any video cameras out there and just give them the code WolfDeath. Even if it's in person, go to B&H Photo and just say, WolfDeath! And they'll
throw money at you. So you're saying some video is better than any, and frankly, even cheap video quality is pretty good at this point because it's going to shoot in high def and it's going to be pretty decent.
Absolutely.
And if you're capturing the audio with microphones anyway, you can sync that audio up even if you're using separate devices to record them effectively. Just don't use your iPhone's microphone as the canonical.
Please don't
audio.
Do that. Although it would be a lie to say that I haven't on occasion.
I get it.
I use it as a backup if something goes like horribly wrong.
Oh,
so I've
sure.
never used it for a whole episode, but I do have it's snuck into an episode somewhere. I'll let you all find it.
We have occasionally had hosts who got ads after they taped the episodes, and we had them do them and as voice memos on their phone and send them in. And it's a different quality, but it's not always bad. Like you can get pretty decent there. Should we? What would the benefit be to Wolfden listeners if there was a video version of this? Did you know Harry was filming us this entire time?
If there was a video version of this. Probably not much, but for someone who was kind of screwing off on their computer at work, you know, you'll have it in a YouTube video off to the side instead of just your podcast. So it's truly how you like, you know, you might get a little more emotion. You might see me smiling or you might see me listening. You know, if you ever go to a late night talk show, if you've ever been the audience of one of those,
I have.
They'll be like, we want to hear your laughter. We want to hear you clapping. You can be smiling and nodding. That's great, but that is not going to get picked up by the microphones.
Yeah. And in fact, I think some of the best interviewers, especially in podcasting, because I think you're right that it's different on TV, but you hear them actively listening. I've actually worked to do that less on this show in particular because I found that I was annoying because I would listen back to episodes with me and Chris where we'd be like, yes, And I'm not even you're not faking it. It's like you're genuinely engaged in listening. But it's like, man, it sounds like I'm doing it for exactly that purpose. It sounds like I'm trying to make sure that listeners know I'm listening. And so I've intentionally tried to dial it back. You're saying video would make it, I don't have to do that at all. They would see that you have captured my laser focus.
Correct. But again, you need to try to portray that obviously without saying, Very interesting.
We're doing a lot of voices this episode.
Yes. I'm out of voices.
All right. A lot of aspiring podcasters and podcasters listen to The Wolf Den. So we always ask the guest to share some advice. Is there a piece of advice that you think is the one thing you want to leave folks in podcasting with today?
As far as video goes or as far as podcasting
wherever,
in general?
Wherever it makes sense for you. I mean, certainly you could, if you want to tell them all, start filming, that's fine. But it can be anything in this podcasting. What's one piece of advice you think could benefit folks in the podcasting space today?
I'm going to guess other people have said this, but I would just say start doing it. You know, the technological barriers, I'm going to say don't exist because all of you, and I'm going to assume everyone listening to this podcast especially, has at least a 3-year-old iPhone or not other brand there.
Right.
The technology is just so super cheap. And there's very little excuse for even the earliest people getting into podcasting not having a good enough sounding microphone. You know, audio software is free if you need free software.
Right.
You know, an SM58 microphone, which is like that classic like stage microphone, is $100.
Right.
So, you know, the investment and the barrier to entry is so low that if you there is no excuse to not just start doing it.
Yeah. Everybody has something to say. Everybody has a story to share. But listen, I ask a generic question every episode of The Wolf Den, but listeners open really insightful questions.
Is there possibly a really great theme song for this segment?
Let's find out. Is there?
Wolf Den mailbag. Don't be happy, don't be sad. Now just sit back and enjoy this week's Wolf Den mailbag.
The Wolf Den mailbag. You can email us, wolfden@midroll.com, or tweet at me at LexFry, LexFri. This week's question is from Janet Mulroney, who asks,
That's a real name?
This is a real one.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Aside from bugging my friends at parties and tapping people wearing to headphones on the shoulder on the subway, how do I find podcasts to listen to? Is there work being done on podcast discovery, the way Spotify and Pandora can recommend music I might like and Amazon knows what I want to buy? What are the challenges here? Are there services you recommend?
The discovery
question. Yeah.
Now, if someone had the answer to that, I would hand them a large check and hope I don't have that much money.
It would be a large physical check. The dollar amount would be like $50, but still, it'd be on a large piece of paper.
Yeah, it's worth like $50 to me.
Got it.
It's hard. I mean, you can trust the curated sources, you know, the iTunes, the Spotifys of the world, but it's still not a perfect way to do things. If you're looking for something new, what a lot of my friends do is they'll go on Facebook, Twitter, say, what podcast should I listen to?
I see those threads all the time and I just like them. I try not to jump in too much because my answers are perceived as biased. But I agree, actually. I think that going on social and saying, I like these shows, what else should I listen to, is a great way. I think that you can start with every podcast app says people who like this show might also like this show. Apple does it. Stitcher does it. Okay, that's every app. There are various places where you can kind of see some algorithmic recommendations. The other thing to do is, who's your favorite podcasters? Google their other podcast guest appearances, because they're going on shows that they think are the right places to reach audiences who would be of interest to them or who would enjoy their shows. So like, let's say you somehow loved Spontaneous Nation with Paul F. Tompkins, but didn't know where else you could find Paul F. Tompkins or what other shows you should listen to. You Google him, you realize, oh, he's on Comedy Bang Bang. He's on Never Not Funny. And he's on this and that. And that's a whole world of shows you're going to fall in love with. But listen, it's hard. The other thing...
Well, what was a couple weeks ago on the podcast, I'm blanking on the name of the app, but they were working on like a guest...
The IMDb of podcasting.
Yeah.
If memory serves...
Podchaser.
If memory serves, it's Podchaser.
So I listened to that and I loved that idea.
Yeah.
So Podchaser is working on a service that'll let you see, you know, choose a guest and then listen to it everywhere. There's another app, it's called Laughable, that does that in the comedy podcasting world. And I think that's a great idea, and I would love to see that become a robust thing.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is the way people are discovering podcasts right now is word of mouth, paid ads, and like just literally browsing the apps. Looking at the Apple Podcasts top charts is a fine start. I actually strongly recommend looking at the episodes top charts a lot of the time, because there's a little bit more action, diversity, movement in those. And just because something is popular doesn't mean that it's good. CF the president. I do think that using charts for discoverability and maybe like thinking about, hey, what kinds of shows do I like? And in Apple Podcasts, you can say like, hey, let me just look at comedy and then look at that top charts by episode. Or let me just look at news and look at that top charts by episode. Because the reality is I get podcast recommendations all the time. You saw my list of podcasts here in the room. You would have seen it on video were you here. But it's rare to listen to a show and have it not be great at this point. Like, certainly there are still lousy shows, but if it's being recommended to you, it's probably very good.
So what I like about the friends telling you about something is podcasting is currently a very solidary experience.
Yes.
You know, you're listening to it alone. There's literally, it's headphones. I would love to know if there were stats on people listening on speaker versus headphones.
Yes. I do know that like smart speaker users, owners are more likely to listen to podcasts than non-smart speaker owners, which isn't too surprising. I don't know. I think some folks, even here at Midroll, are bullish on what smart speakers will do for podcast listening, but I feel like people don't want to be tethered to one room while they're listening.
Yeah, but my point is that I want to talk to people about that hilarious thing or this really smart thing that just happened. And like back in the day, like my dad still does this. You see that thing in the Times today?
Mm-hmm,
If I said you see that thing on Rogan, like now that you know, Elon Musk smoking on Rogan is a huge deal and that's on the news everywhere. But if it was a smaller thing that I still wanted to, you know, I wish I had a friend I could, you know, talk to that about that was a fan of that podcast as well.
Yeah.
So I've been able to achieve that through that method a couple times. So I like that in general.
I think the other thing to do, if you already have podcasts that you love, Janet, is see if any of those have communities. Like maybe there's a Reddit or there's a Facebook group, like we were talking before we started recording, maybe after, about Chris Gethard. And he's got a big Facebook fan page section for Beautiful Anonymous. And if you went in there and said, hey, what other shows do you guys listen to? I'm sure that thread has come up 17,000 times.
Yes.
So the first thing that happens is you'll get yelled at for repeating an old question. But like, that's another good place. If there is a community, which is exactly what people are doing that you're describing, Ben, is like, hey, who else can I talk to about? Who else is experiencing this solitary activity?
I just joined my first one of those about a week ago. I listened to My Brother and My Brother and Me with the McElroy Wonderful Brothers. And they don't talk about it on the show because it's all fan run. And I joined this and it's just great. There's people, you know, making the jokes. There's people adding things for context, pictures. It's a lot of fun. It's to me, an improvement on listening to just the podcast.
The Wolf Den subreddit has a secret name, so you'll have to really search hard to find it. But thank you for your question, Janet. And if you have a question for the Wolf Den mailbag because you want your question to follow that beautiful song, wolfden@midroll.com or tweet at me at LEXFRI. Ben, where can our listeners follow you online?
You can follow me. Twitter is the best place to find me, at BenMakesTV. I spend 25 hours a day on Twitter, so good place to find me.
That's a lot of time on Twitter. Well, thank you for your time. I want to thank Harry Nelson and Jared O'Connell. The Wolf Den mailbag theme is by Casey Holford. You can subscribe to The Wolf Den in the podcast app of your choosing. New to podcasting, Steve Wilson or others? Find an app that listens to podcasts. Whether you use an iPhone or an Android phone, Stitcher will work. And I'm told there's other apps too. But rate us in whatever app you use. And thank you as always. We'll catch you next time. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Wolf Den. If we've learned one thing today, I hope it's this. You can tell us what you thought about this episode by leaving a review on Podchaser, the only platform with ratings and reviews for individual podcast episodes. Harry, what's your rating of this episode?
I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10.
I couldn't agree more. If you're a podcast creator, you can register for early access to Podchaser creator profile pages at podchaser.com/creators and get a free t-shirt and sticker branded with your podcast's artwork.
Cool.
That's awesome.
We got to do that, I guess.
We really do. I want a Wolf Den shirt.
Same.
Pod swag.
They won't make it, I've asked.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Risa Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.